age of men is over. The time of the orc has come.
Are you sure about that? Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally playable in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how players are using some of the most powerful cards in Magic's history. Before we get started today, thanks again for joining us. Between my time off earlier this year and all the mess-ups with the YouTube algorithm recently, it really means a lot that you are taking time out of your day to listen to or watch this episode. And if you feel that we've earned it, please go ahead, give a like, subscribe, leave us a comment, tell us what you think, particularly as I continue to work with our audio-video setup and still doing some experimentation. Let me know what's worked and what hasn't. I'm really interested to find out. Now, if you've been on Magic Twitter recently or on a CDH Discord, you probably know that there is a black creature from Lord of the Rings, Tales of Middle-earth that's causing a bit of an uproar. Now, I'm not talking about Mirkwood Bats, though that's causing a little bit of an uproar on the casual side of things. I'm talking about Orcish Bowmasters. One in a black for a 1-1 creature Orc Archer with flash and when Orcish Bowmasters enters the battlefield and whenever an opponent draws a card except the first one they draw in each of their draw steps, Orcish Bowmasters deals 1 damage to any target, then amass Orcs 1. People are comparing the Bowmasters to Hull Breacher or Leovold in terms of the power and likely impact they will have on the format, and saying that creature-based strategies may just be unplayable in CDH when this orc is on the field. But how powerful is it going to be, really? And if you're planning to join an event like LotusCon later this year in October, being hosted by the team at Monarch, you may want to take a listen to what I have to say in this episode, as it may inform your choice of cards that you put in your deck that you bring to that or any of the other CEDH events this year. We're going to start by trying to analyze Bowmasters themselves, and we're going to try to look for the magic number. The magic number is the value of a creature's toughness that survives a theoretical metagame where Orcish Bowmasters are an expected quantity in basically all the games of CEDH. Historically, Renin 6 set that magic number at X2 in Modern, as X1s were really hard to play when you have a Planeswalker that has a very easy to activate loyalty ability and a very low mana cost to deal 1 damage to a creature. Keep that in mind, as we may come back to Renin 6 in just a little bit. But if we can identify the magic number that Orcish Bowmasters forces on the metagame, we may be able to understand how deeply the impact will be felt and how it will affect the playability of creatures in CEDH. As far as Orcish Bowmasters is concerned, there is some interesting counterplay to consider. Bowmasters having flash means that they're a little tougher to remove with bounce spells, as if their controller has open mana, they could potentially just cast them again. But they are also 1-1s who die to a stiff breeze, or other Orcish Bowmasters. The difference between an Orcish Bowmaster and Renin 6 is that Bowmasters does more than just deal 1 damage on a particular turn, and it can also deal more than 1 damage total in a turn, which means the threshold for creatures it can remove is incrementally higher than the one that Renin 6 set. At its floor, Orcish Bowmasters ETBs and can ping 1 damage and create a 1-1 Orc army, even if nobody draws a card. And at its ceiling, if someone were to cast something like a Wheel of Fortune, you could see Orcish Bowmasters hitting ETB, dealing 22 damage and creating a 22-22 Orc army. That's basically an asymmetrical board wipe that also staples on a massive creature. A powerful effect. The fact that Bowmasters are a seemingly perfect pair with Wheels, a category of card which has been historically rife for abuse, with cards we mentioned earlier, like Leovold and Hull Breacher, this has set off a lot of alarm bells in a lot of players' minds. And the nightmare scenario for this is that the only good answer to a Bowmaster is to play your own Bowmaster, leading to homogenization of the metagame and an overall reduction in creature-based strategies in CEDH. To better predict what will happen, we should analyze some different scenarios for the Bowmasters and how they'll play into the field. There's basically 3 scenarios we should consider. The first 2 are going to consider their Enter the Battlefield effect, and then finally their role as a Stax piece. The first ETB is kind of the floor. Bowmasters comes down with no additional draws pending and no easy way to force draws, so they're going to deal 1 damage and create a 1-1 army token. Not very impactful, but still pretty good for 2 mana. Maybe they get lucky and their controller picks off an opposing mana dork or other value piece. It's still a really decent rate for 1 and a black at instant speed. Now, the other ETB scenario is closer to the ceiling, where Bowmasters comes down with 1 or more color draw effects pending on the stack in a gotcha moment, dealing 1 plus X damage and creating a 1 plus X, 1 plus X army. If it's a card draw effect like Brainstorm, that's 4 damage and a 4-4, and that 1-1 stacks piece, which is an incredible rate. And if it's a Wheel of Fortune, that's 22 damage and a 22-22, a practically unfathomable rate. After the orcs come down, they continue to function on the field as a pseudo-stacks piece, our third scenario to consider, where they straddle the line between a classic commander archetype like Punisher and a more traditional CDH stacks piece. And as a stacks piece, they are already on the field and they threaten additional damage, and to pump the army up, if opponents continue to draw additional cards while the stacks piece is in play. So before we get on to the real elephant in the room, the damage, we should ask ourselves, how much is an army actually worth? Should we ignore that token, or should we consider what its value is? At the end of the day, it's a potentially very large creature, which will likely continue to grow incrementally over the course of a game. It also lacks evasion, and it can usually attack or block with very little fear in the current CDH metagame. I think that a very good analog for the token that we're already quite familiar with in CDH would be the Karnstrux made by Urza, Lord High Artificer, or Urza Saga. These 0/0 artifact creatures get +1/+1 for each artifact you control, including themselves. In many games of CDH before the printing of Bowmasters, Karnstrux serve as a mild source of pressure, attacking decks which rely on life totals, or pressuring decks which are very dependent on their creatures to lose important blockers, or have unfavorable blocks and just take damage. A few scenarios you don't really want to find yourself in. They're not great, but they can do some extra damage and put extra pressure in the game. Yes, some games actually do end to Karnstrux beating people down, but in the vast majority of CDH games, Karnstrux are meaningful footnotes. And I suspect that orc armies are going to play out in much the same way. They may have a higher ceiling for how large they will get. They may also grow a little bit quicker than Karnstrux, but they're also a little bit easier for opponents to manage. So on average, it's probably fair mental shortcut to compare the orc armies to Karnstrux in terms of their effect on the battlefield and on how the game will unfold. The bigger question in CDH, and likely the reason you're watching or listening to this episode, is to try to understand how much damage the Bowmasters are likely to threaten on turn after turn, and thus, what creatures are likely to be vulnerable to the Orcish Bowmasters. What is that magic number going to wind up being? We've already identified the floor and the ceiling with Orcish Bowmasters. The floor being Orcish Bowmasters enters the battlefield on ETB, no draws on the trigger, you're going to deal 1 damage and get a 1-1 army. All the way up to a ceiling being they enter the battlefield with a draw effect on the field, like Wheel of Fortune, and can basically wipe the board with 22 damage thrown around however their controller sees fit, usually leaving their board intact while wiping out everybody else's. The big question is which of these extremes, or how close to these extremes, are we likely to see most often? And, of course, how powerful of a stacks piece will the orcs be? To try to answer this, I started reading through the data from CDH.guide, and I looked at the most commonly played draw effects in CDH according to the CDH decklist database. I tried to calculate roughly how often you'd expect to see them at a table. And I will say straight away that this is some very rough math, as I did not comb through tournament data to collect how many instances of each deck made it to the database, or I didn't watch any videos to try to calculate how many gameplay videos feature an Esper Sentinel hitting the battlefield. Think of this more as a starting point, not a definitive mathematical proof. So with those massive disclaimers out of the way, there are very roughly 6 basic categories of card draw in CDH as far as the Bowmasters are concerned. There is forced draw, may draw, activated ability draw, cantrips, medium draw, and big draw. Forced draw would be effects like Esper Sentinel, which sees play in about 44% of decks on the database. There is no may attached to this forced draw, and if triggered, the effect will result in a draw. This is a guaranteed source of damage for decks that are going to be including Orcish Bowmasters. Other cards in this category include frequently played commanders like Krom, as well as some other up-and-comers in the format like Archivist Vogma and Ledger Shredder. May draw are draw engines which include a may as part of the draw trigger, allowing the controller to opt out of drawing the card if they think it is disadvantageous for them to do so. These include ubiquitous cards like Mystic Remora, Rhystic Study, and Sylvan Library. And you could probably argue that commanders like Timna the Weaver belong in this camp as well, as you have the option to spend life and draw cards after combat with her triggered ability. Next up are activated ability draws. These include effects which require their controller to choose to activate, often with a mana cost or some other cost associated with it. Commanders like Thrasios Triton Hero are obviously activated abilities, with the next most commonly played version of this effect being Cephalid Colosseum, as well as some other lands like the Horizon Land Cycle, which tap for two different colors of mana at the cost of 1 point of life, and can then be sacrificed to draw a card for one in a tap. Skullclamp isn't particularly common in CDH, but I felt I should mention it, as it probably falls roughly into this category, as Arden decks are looking more and more interesting as time goes on. Next category are cantrips, which are still somewhat commonly played in CDH, the most commonly played of which is Gitaxian Probe, which sees play in over 30% of decks on the database, as well as the best case scenario for Veil of Summer, which, interestingly enough, Orcish Bowmasters can technically fulfill in a way that might surprise the controller of Veil of Summer. Preordain and Ponder see some play as well, and each of these is going to result in one card draw, and one extra damage from Bowmasters. Medium draw would be effects which draw 2 to 3 cards. So, we're looking at Brainstorm, which still sees play in over 30% of decks, as well as effects like Faithless Looting, drawing 2 cards, and there are even a few decks which are on Gush. Finally, big draw effects, like Wheels, are going to be the best case scenario for Orcish Bowmasters, which are going to see tons of cards drawn. Wheel of Fortune still sees play in 32% of CDH decks on the decklist database, with Windfall in 28% of decks and Time Twister in 26%. And Peer into the Abyss should fall into this category as well, still seeing play in 21% of decks. So in theory, Bowmasters could threaten basically everything. Wheel of Fortune or Peer into the Abyss draw so many cards that Bowmasters could really just wipe the board with ease. But in practice, what will a single Bowmaster really be able to threaten? We should try to account for what kind of scenario the Bowmasters are likely to see, not Magical Christmas Land. If we're looking beyond the floor, and we're looking for a ceiling for the Bowmaster's ETB trigger, the best case scenario is to flash them in when an opponent has already cast a Wheel or Peer into the Abyss. But every turn you spend waiting to cast Bowmasters is a turn spent not punishing opponents for trying to draw cards off of other engines. Alternatively, you could set up a Wheel and then flash in Bowmasters in response, a setup not unlike the pattern of play we frequently saw in Opus Thief, and that's a nice plan. You can build a deck around that. But it's also 5 mana, and still you have all the drawbacks that all Wheels have where you're giving your opponents a new handful of cards. Wheels, specifically Wheel of Fortune, Windfall, and Time Twister, are the only forced draw effects which you can really routinely expect to use with your own Orcish Bowmasters to wipe the board. Remember, Wheel of Misfortune allows your opponents to opt out of it, and if you're playing a Wheel Thief deck or Opus Thief, your opponents are going to pay 0 life and not risk getting blown out by Bowmasters. Outside of Wheels, the ceiling for Bowmasters is probably going to be in response to someone casting a spell like Brainstorm, the only medium draw spell which sees play in greater than 10% of decks. This results in 4 damage, and this is exactsies for what you need to take down a beefcake like Krom, but you still can't take down 5 toughness creatures. And really, it's all downhill from there in the gacha turn. The next most likely scenario is to flash out the Bowmasters in response to an opponent who has a forced draw trigger on the stack, such as with an Esper Sentinel. That's 2 damage really easily, putting a lot of X2 creatures in the crosshairs on that gacha turn. And it's a pretty likely scenario, because Esper Sentinel is a force draw that sees play in 44% of decks on the database. Force draw effects are very likely to net 2 damage for the Bowmasters, but it really is tough to get up to that 3 or more damage in a single turn, as opponents are going to be less likely to play into a draw engine when they're jeopardizing their own game pieces. And really, the odds of a player jamming a cantrip or a medium draw effect into an Esper Sentinel is probably pretty low in general, even before the printing of Orcish Bowmasters. But especially as people begin to adapt to the new metagame with Orcish Bowmasters, I don't expect a lot of players to be playing draw spells into someone else's draw engine. Now, a May draw trigger is a lot harder to take advantage of, as the controller of something like Rhystic Study has the option to just not draw the card, even if their opponent chooses not to pay the one or can't pay the one. The Bowmaster's controller can potentially politic into a scenario where they cast Bowmasters into an opponent's Rhystic Study with another card draw trigger on the stack, not pay the one, and then argue to the Rhystic Study's controller to help them ping down a 3 toughness creature that they both need gone, maybe something like Dranith Magistrate. Once the orcs are already on the field, though, and they're acting as a stacks piece, opponents are likely to be very reluctant to play into them and feed their controller more damage triggers. I've spoke with a few players who have already been testing extensively with Orcish Bowmasters since it's been spoiled, and the consensus seems to be that after the gacha turn, it's generally going to be the X1 creatures who are suffering the brunt of Bowmaster triggers. Because essentially, it's risky for the Bowmaster's controller to point those triggers at a creature who is unlikely to die. X2s take some work to bring down after the initial gacha turn, but it isn't really unreasonable to shoot them off the field if there is at least one single force draw effect in the play, and some politicking with May draw effect controllers in order to get rid of stubborn stacks effects or potentially dangerous creatures. And according to people who have been testing, it feels more difficult to deal with X3s, and X4s apparently feel almost insurmountable in their ability to be shot down. About the only way to reliably get 4 damage is to flash the orc out in response to exactly Brainstorm, or at the end of combat, and then try to politic Timna's controller into helping ping down a 4 toughness creature. So the ideal board state for Orcish Bowmasters then is when an opponent, or ideally multiple opponents, control force draw effects. They'll need to put in the work to politic if an opponent only has May draw or activated ability draw effects. And you can see some scenarios in a tournament where there may be a deal going on where the Bowmaster's controller will ask Thrasios' controller to get a few extra activations in so they can work together to shoot down a potentially dangerous commander. But overall, very few opponents will still want to cast a cantrip, medium draw, or God forbid a wheel into a pre-existing Bowmasters which is already on the field as a stacks effect. And this probably means that after the initial gacha turn, most of the time, X1s are going to be the ones who suffer. X2s are probably sweating, particularly if there is a force draw effect on the field, but X3s are probably sitting right at that magic number where it's pretty tough to justify spending one of the triggers on Orcish Bowmasters to try to gun them down, especially when you're not sure if you're going to get to that 3. X4s and up are almost certainly in the safe zone, outside of somebody wheeling into an Orcish Bowmasters. Now we have our magic number in mind, 3. How will this affect the metagame, and how will the CEDH metagame begin to adapt with the arrival of Orcish Bowmasters? I have a few predictions. Number 1, X1 stacks pieces are probably going to be phased out, and mana dorks like Birds of Paradise, Llanowar Elves, Elvish Mystic, and Finhorn Elves are going to be the relatively easy targets of opportunity, and I think this does weaken green to a degree. Specifically, Spirit of the Labyrinth and even Mind Sensor are the likely most vulnerable stacks pieces that are going to get cut from a lot of stacks decks. And I expect that mana dorks are going to get pinged down slowly over turns as targets of opportunity. And stacks pieces are probably going to be the ones who be targeted right away, particularly on the initial gacha turn. X2 stacks pieces like Douthi Voidwalker, Aethersworn Canonist, and Opposition Agent are quite vulnerable during that gacha turn. Their removal often unlocks more game actions for the Bowmaster's controller to take and advance their own game plan, and they may get some help with other opponents to try to work together to get rid of that stacks piece. And X3s may be taken out during the gacha turn, but they're not nearly as vulnerable to the Bowmasters when it's in stacks mode, when it's already on the field. Again, that's 3 draw triggers that you fed an opponent before they really start to deal damage and can knock out something that big, which I really don't think many opponents are going to be wanting to do. And if you're considering it on the gacha turn, it's not that different from an opponent top decking a removal spell to get rid of one of your creatures. Number two prediction. I think that the risk of wheeling is going to outweigh the benefits as players adjust to the metagame. If you can't play Orcish Bowmasters, you probably do not want to be on Wheel of Fortune, Windfall, or Time Twister. If you do want to play Orcish Bowmasters, you probably do want to add those cards to your deck. Remember, the core of Wheel Thief is in Grixis. The three wheels we just mentioned, plus Bowmasters, Notion Thief, and Narset Parter of Veils. But the risk of wheeling and getting got by a flashed-in Bowmasters is pretty high. Even if you have Bowmasters in your deck, would you want to risk playing it without a payoff ready to go? Or would you want to risk wheeling and having somebody else be the one who is holding on to Bowmasters? That's a potentially dangerous situation, and I anticipate a lot of players are going to want to hold on until they are ready to go. Dedicated wheel decks like Opus Thief are very likely to make a comeback, happy to have a great 2-mana value payoff. But I don't expect non-wheel decks to keep wheels slotted in, and they will likely phase them out for alternative options to get card advantage to avoid getting got, particularly if they have a more vulnerable commander, such as decks that are running something like Timna or Malcolm in the command zone, and they don't want to lose that 2 toughness creature. Recall that Opus Thief did see a bit of a decline with the printing of Hull Breacher, which was a powerful payoff for wheels, which also, unfortunately, just about everybody who played blue slotted in. So my second prediction is that wheels will likely see a decline in overall play in the metagame. Number 3. Bowmasters will become something of a fixture in the metagame, not unlike Opposition Agent. When Opposition Agent was first previewed, all eyes were on that card as the one that would break the metagame. Not Hull Breacher, the one that eventually ate a ban. And as it turned out, Opposition Agent was actually fairly tame in CDH. Yeah, getting got kind of stinks, it costs you a card and your opponent gets a tutor out of your deck. But once someone gets got, you just play around it as if it were a stacks piece like Aven Mind Sensor, which prevented you from searching your library. It was Hull Breacher, with the card which stopped additional card draw and rewarded Hull Breacher's controller with a pile of treasures that really changed the metagame. Remember that Orcish Bowmasters doesn't stop opponents from drawing cards, so they can still dig for an answer if they're desperate, and even if they do get their board wiped out by a wheel, they're still going to be having 7 fresh cards in their hand, which means that Bowmaster's controller is going to be facing down 3 opponents with 7 cards in hand. That is not the case with a card like Notion Thief, which leaves you with 21 cards in hand and your opponents with 0 cards in hand. I anticipate that players will learn to use their opponent's Bowmasters to their advantage, just as Bowmasters controllers will learn to politic controllers of major effects into bringing down mutually problematic creatures at higher toughnesses. But I don't expect it to be the common line of play. Creatures will be a little bit more vulnerable, which, as noted, will hurt stacks decks and base green decks relying on dorks specifically. I think that very few players will want to feed 3 or more triggers to Bowmasters other than in times of absolute desperation. And most players will simply treat Bowmasters as a virtual can't draw effect like Narset, Parter of Veils. Prediction number 4. Forced draw effects will likely see a decline in play. Effects like Esper Sentinel will likely drop off in decks that can afford to play something else in the slot, particularly if the deck also relies on X1s and X2s. Higher color decks can probably find alternatives if they're worried about Bowmaster's impact on the rest of their game plan, such as they play a lot of other small dorky creatures. A number of players who I've talked to who have been really testing with Bowmasters describe it as often being a case where they are holding the Esper Sentinel hostage, picking off targets of opportunity until the Esper Sentinel is the best thing that's left and finally gunning it down. Wizards has shown they still have lots of interesting design space to explore for card advantage in white, so there may be more changes as the year goes on. Number 5, and probably the most out there prediction so far, Ward is going to see more play in the metagame. Talking with people who have played Orcish Bowmasters, a creature with Ward has felt almost invincible to their Bowmasters. Even a Ward cost of 1 is a huge cost to pay multiple times in a turn. Take a look at card design in just the last 2 sets. Coppercoat Vanguard gives other humans Ward 1, and Flowering of the White Tree gives Legends +2/+1 and Ward 1. That can make your commander almost indestructible as far as Orcish Bowmasters are concerned. And there have been other pseudo-Ward effects out there, like Unsettled Mariner, and even looking back further, Spellskite, both of which have served me well in testing my Azorius deck, and I look forward to continuing to test them as I get ready for LotusCon this October. Mother of Ruin's effects have always been strong, and with Bowmasters around, having the ability to negate one of those precious damage triggers of the Bowmasters is going to feel pretty good. Wasting a trigger significantly reduces the impact of the Bowmasters, and there's a strong incentive for Bowmasters' controller to get as many successful pings as possible. Prediction number 6. Draw your deck win cons are probably not going anywhere. It's not that hard to answer creatures in CDH, and while you technically can't draw your whole deck through Bowmasters without getting pinged down to zero life, it's not that hard to dig through the top 10, 20, 30 cards, getting pinged along the way while you look for a removal spell to get rid of Bowmasters. Ad Nauseam has shown just how powerful it can be to have massive card advantage in CDH. So while it might take extra steps to get rid of Bowmasters, I don't expect significant changes to decks which normally win by dumping infinite mana into Thrasios or similar win cons. Prediction number 7. Armies are going to pressure life totals and the board just like Karnstrux, so prepare for more games that play like there's Karnstrux around. Being able to block and answer creatures has been a good thing ever since Timna was printed, and it might take a little bit of an adjustment as people learn to be ready for a 6-6 or a 7-7 army stomping around, and sometimes people are going to get got by a gotcha Bowmaster flashed in with a wheel on the stack. But the army is still a token, and they are still particularly vulnerable to the still ubiquitous bounce-based removal in CDH. Just be ready to deal with some big bigs on the battlefield. And that sure was an episode, and I'm sorry for the marathon length of it, but there was a lot to dissect with this card. So I'll cut the closing thoughts down a bit just to save a little bit of time. I'm sure you have some thoughts on Orcish Bowmasters as well, so feel free to share them with us in the comments on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. You can add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or you can send us an email, gemstonemindpodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.